Welcome to A Contra Dialogue, a journey through timeless literature. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of A Contra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive.
You know, it's fascinating how some of the biggest ideas about who we are get explored in really quite short stories. We're diving into a classic today, really hoping to give you a solid grasp of a complex work fast.
We are. We're tackling Joseph Conrad's brilliant 1910 novella, The Secret Sharer. Honestly, if you're after that mix of, you know, adventure on the high seas combined with some really deep psychological stuff, this is it.
And the author himself is just as fascinating. Conrad's story is pretty unique, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You can't really talk about his work without talking about him. Joseph Teodor Conrad Korsyniowski, Polish by birth. English was his third language.
And yet he becomes one of its absolute masters. Amazing. It really is. And that outsider perspective, you know, combined with years and years actually working as a merchant marine captain, it gave him this incredible viewpoint. He understood the crushing weight of command, especially at sea, the isolation, the danger, how thin that layer of civilization really is.
He writes about that veneer better than almost anyone. So our goal today, let's unpack this psychological thriller. It's tight, it's tense. We're zeroing in on how this one single night in the Gulf of Siam forces this young captain to confront who he really is.
Right. It's essentially a crucible for identity and leadership.
Yeah. It's about moving past pretending and actually earning the right to command, earning your own self, really.
Okay. So let's set the scene. The atmosphere Conrad builds is, well, it's crucial. We're in the Gulf of Siam. Think oppressive heat, dead calm seas, no wind. It creates this feeling of being stuck. Stagnant.
And right in the middle of this is our protagonist. He's unnamed,
yeah.
Very young, and it's his first command.
Talk about pressure.
Oh, yeah. He's basically drowning in imposter syndrome. He feels like a total stranger on his own ship, disconnected from the crew. He's terrified of not measuring up, you know, like he's haunted by the idea of what a captain should be.
And Conrad immediately puts this into the frame of the burden and isolation of command. Because real leadership, especially out there, isolated on a ship, demands a kind of moral solitude.
You have to make the tough calls alone.
Exactly. Based on your own judgment, often against what everyone else expects or wants, our captain feels this weight, but he hasn't found that inner core, that strength to actually bear it yet. He's almost waiting for permission to lead.
Instead of just taking charge. And that's the setup for the catalyst, isn't it? During a night watch,
right.
When he's all alone with these doubts swirling.
The internal struggle suddenly becomes external, physical.
He finds a man in the water, naked, clanging to the ship's rope ladder.
Right.
He hauls him aboard.
And this is Leggett, a fugitive. He was the chief mate on another ship nearby, the Sephora. And his story, his crime, that's the pivot point for everything that follows.
He killed a crewman.
He did. But the context Conrad gives us is vital. It wasn't cold-blooded murder.
Right. It happened during this incredibly violent storm. The ship was almost lost.
Yes. The crewman Leggett killed was apparently insubordinate, panicking, putting the whole ship at risk. Leggett's action was decisive, maybe brutal, but arguably necessary to save the vessel.
But the law doesn't really care about the nuances, does it?
Not really. Legally, he's a murderer who jumped ship to escape justice. That's the official story.
But the captain, he sees something else entirely. This is the core of it, I think. He doesn't see a criminal.
No, he sees himself, a reflection. Leggett is like his physical double, but also his psychological double. He embodies the decisiveness, the ability to act, even violently, that the captain feels he lacks but desperately needs.
The connection is immediate, almost uncanny. Conrad uses that amazing line, doesn't he?
He does. The captain says it was as if I had been faced by my own reflection in the depths of a somber and immense mirror. It's like confronting his own shadow self suddenly made real.
And that impulsive decision right then and there to hide Leggett in his own cabin.
Yeah.
That seals it. The cabin becomes more than just a room.
It becomes a symbol for the captain's own mind, right? Holding this secret, this potential other self. He's literally harboring his own untested capabilities.
Which brings us smack into the moral gray zone, that conflict between law and justice. Professionally, hiding Leggett is disastrous, illegal.
Completely. His duty as captain is crystal clear. Report the fugitive. Turn him in.
But he doesn't. And is it just because they look alike? I mean, couldn't you argue he's just rationalizing protecting a killer? How does Conrad make us feel this is more about human solidarity, as you put it?
That's a fair question. I think the solidarity isn't just with Leggett, the person. It's solidarity with the principle Leggett represents for the captain. It's about the captain trusting his own gut feeling, his emerging moral judgment that Leggett's action, while terrible, was rooted in the harsh necessities of command.
So, by protecting Leggett, he's validating his own potential judgment.
In a way, yes. He's prioritizing this personal moral insight over the rigid letter of the law. And that choice is what starts to forge his own character. He almost needs Leggett's conviction to believe in his own.
And that internal pressure cooker just ramps up the tension in the middle part of the story. It becomes incredibly claustrophobic.
Oh, completely. Imagine trying to maintain the normal day-to-day routines of the ship, meals, orders, inspections, while knowing this fugitive is silently hidden, just feet away in your cabin. The anxiety must be overwhelming.
Especially with the steward constantly coming in and out. Every little noise, every interaction is fraught.
The captain has to put on this performance, this mask of absolute calm authority he doesn't really feel yet. And that mask gets seriously tested.
Right, with the arrival of Captain Archbold from the Sephora, the man Leggett is running from.
Archbold is the perfect foil. He's everything our young captain isn't or is trying not to be. He's rigid, follows the rules to the letter, very self-righteous. He represents conventional authority, the system.
And our captain has to lie to him, deceive him face to face. How does he pull that off?
It's fascinating. Conrad suggests that the very presence of Leggett, hidden but potent, somehow gives the captain the strength, the nerve to maintain that facade. He feels Leggett's decisiveness bolstering his own. He successfully fools Archbold.
And that act of successful deception, of choosing his own path over the conventional one, seems to be the real turning point for him internally.
Exactly. It's where he stops being paralyzed by self-doubt and starts actively shaping his own reality. He realizes he's capable of acting outside the bounds of what others expect. There's that quote where he reflects.
I was somewhat of a stranger to myself. It had come to me suddenly that I, too, was not the sort of person to be held back from even the most dangerous impulses by the fear of what others would think.
That's it. He's breaking free from needing external validation. His actions are now driven by his own internal compass, however risky.
Which sets up the climax. Leggett needs to make his escape.
And the captain has to make it happen. They plan for Leggett to swim ashore near this remote island, Koh-Ring.
But just getting him off the ship isn't enough. The captain does something. Well, it seems completely insane to his crew.
It's the ultimate gamble. To give Leggett the best chance in the darkness, the captain sails the ship dangerously, terrifyingly close to the island shore. Uncharted waters, rocks lurking.
The crew is freaking out. They think he's lost it, sailing them straight into disaster.
And in that moment, he is utterly alone. It's the final initiation and test of command. He's trusting nothing but his own judgment, the decisiveness he's absorbed from his secret sharer against all external signs of danger and his crew's fear. He's risking everything, the ship, his life, his career, to complete this act of solidarity.
The tension must be unbearable as they scrape past the land. Like it goes over the side into the water, and then the hat.
Ah, yes, the hat. A brilliant touch. In the rush, the captain had given Leggett his own floppy white hat. Maybe for disguise, maybe just an instinctive gesture.
But it becomes crucial.
Absolutely pivotal. In the pitch black darkness, with the ship needing to turn away from the shore immediately to avoid wrecking, that floating white hat is the only thing visible.
It's the marker he needs. It shows him exactly where the ship is relative to the land, allowing him to judge the turn perfectly.
Just in the nick of time. He wrenches the helm, the ship swings clear, and disaster is averted.
Wow. So the captain's own identity, symbolized by his hat, literally saves the ship.
The symbolism is incredibly potent, isn't it? And Leggett's disappearance into the sea marks the completion of the process. The two selves have integrated, the captain has absorbed Leggett's necessary courage, and now they can separate.
He doesn't need the physical double anymore because he's internalized that strength.
Exactly. He's left alone, but now he's truly in command of himself and his ship. He's earned it.
So, stepping back from the story itself, what's the big takeaway here? What's Conrad telling us about? Well, about us.
I think it's fundamentally about achieving wholeness. Conrad seems to argue that real self-possession, real command, doesn't come from just following rules or getting a promotion. It comes from facing and integrating all parts of yourself.
Even the darker, more difficult, maybe even violent parts, the Leggett parts.
Yes, that primal instinct, the capacity for decisive, even dangerous action, needs to be acknowledged and integrated with our civilized, rule-following selves. You can't lead effectively, perhaps you can't even live fully, by denying that shadow aspect.
So True leadership, true self-discovery, maybe comes from having the courage to act on your own convictions, especially when the standard rules or expectations just don't cut it anymore.
Precisely. The captain didn't become a true commander by sticking to the manual. He became one by making a deeply personal, morally complex choice that broke the rules but affirmed his own emerging self.
You really feel that sense of transformation in the final lines.
Oh, absolutely. That sense of release, of a burden lifted but a new strength found. My shadowy double had been restored to the world of unrest and freedom, and I was left alone with my ship anchored at the gates of Philanthropia. A free man, a proud swimmer striking out for a new destiny. He's alone, but he's finally free and whole.
It really suggests that our biggest challenges are often internal. Overcoming self-doubt, finding the courage to make those tough, lonely decisions.
Yeah.
That's where real freedom lies.
It's about accepting the weight of being yourself. So maybe the question for all of us is, if Leggett represents that necessary, decisive core, what's the secret sharer within us? What hidden skill or instinct, maybe something we find uncomfortable, do we need to integrate to truly master our own challenges, our own command?
That's definitely something to think about. What part of ourselves are we keeping locked away?
A good question indeed.
This conversation ends here. We'll meet again with another unique work of world literature. This audio summary is brought to you by eCatra Foundation.